We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? And go to GoArmy.com to find out.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
The Varsity O presents Sooners for Life, a podcast focused on celebrating the careers of Sooner greats and highlighting their insider knowledge on current sports programs. Learn more at thevarsityo.com. This week, Jessica Cootie sits down with Dimitri Flowers.
What's been going on? How you doing?
Life's been great, and honestly, you know, I've started law school at OU, so I'm back in Norman. I've been living here, watching the games every weekend. Unfortunately, a tough one last weekend, but, you know, we always find a way to bounce back, so I'm not worried about it. But life is great, you know, I really can't complain. I'm in a great position right now. I'm just trying to take advantage of everything, every connection that I've, you know, made over the past 4 years.
Yeah, so I know you're going to OU Law School once you kind of retired and decided to kind of go this route. How much has what you did at Oklahoma and the people you met here and everything that you were able to establish here kind of help you fulfill that dream of going to law school now?
Mm-hmm. It's huge. You know, really thinking back on it, I could say for a fact I wouldn't be at the University of Oklahoma College of Law if it wasn't for the fact that I played football here. And it's the connections I made. You know, I had great letters of recs. A lot of people could attest to my character, what I did for not only the university, but for this community over 4 years. You know, outside of the grades that I had, which were pretty good anyway, it was, okay, we know he's a great person. You know, I just had a lot of things working for me in that direction.
So we hear a lot about how OU prepares you guys for the next level at the NFL or the professional football level. But once you step out of that, how much do you feel prepared for the real world that doesn't involve football because of what you were able to do at Oklahoma?
You know, that's a tough question. I mean, it's not like we took a specific class on once you're done playing football, what do you do? I think it goes back to, you know, when I finished, I called Annette, who was my academic advisor. You know, I talked to Coach Riley about what I wanted to do. So it really just goes to show, you know, just the family connections and all the people that you meet over the course of 4 years. Like it doesn't end when you graduate. You know, you continue to have all those same numbers in your phone. I can reach out, I can text any of them right now and get information that I needed to.
That's awesome. Okay, let's talk a little Iowa State. Let's go back to the first big play, the 75-yard touchdown back mm-hmm. in 2015. Lincoln Riley has said that is his favorite play since he's been here. We got to go back from the start.
Okay.
The first offensive play of the game for you guys.
I mean, first one.
You knew it was coming. So walk us through how it was.
No, but like, I didn't know it was going to be the first play. And the funniest part about it is we ran it all week against our defense and it did not work one time. it did not work one time live against our defense. And so I didn't even know if we were going to call it in the game. And so I think they go down and kick a field goal maybe. I don't know what happened, but we get the ball. We're in the huddle. And Link looks at me and he's like, all right, we're running it. We go out there. And I'm just like, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way this is going to work. And sure enough, 75 yards later and a touchdown, it worked. It was incredible. It was so funny.
So when he first kind of drew it up, what were you thinking? Like, okay, this is pretty salty.
I mean, so the first time we learned about it, we learned about all the plays we're going to run for the week and Monday and our position meeting. So Coach Bowler was just explaining it. And he wasn't drawing, he was explaining it. And I was so lost. I was like, wait, you want me to go here and then block and then go and then run? And then it was just so much. And it worked. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to plays like that, stuff like that. But I mean, it was so funny that whole week.
So you find yourself completely wide open. Are you thinking, I can't drop this ball. I can't drop 100%. The ball. I better get to the end zone.
There was no one around me. So, I mean, and it was a loud stadium. I swear the ball passed right over the lights because I lost it for a split second and I got scared. And I just put my arms out, caught the ball, and I was like, okay. Now my next thing is I can't get caught from behind because there was no one around me. So if I get caught, I'm never going to hear the end of it. And it worked out well, I'd say.
You talked about him just being a genius, but just take people through what it's like kind of going through a game plan with him. How, you know, we've heard some former players talk about he'll draw something up and you're like, coach, that's not going to work. And he's like, just trust me, it's going to work. And then most of the time it works. So what's it kind of like getting to really be up close and personal with that mind?
It's honestly astonishing. That's the best way I can put it. I got to experience it as a player from that aspect of running the actual plays. And then I came back to coach for a little bit and got to sit in the meeting rooms with going over the game plans. And it was truly amazing just to see how his mind works and how it goes from one thing to another, how he sees stuff from one play that against a team 2 years ago that, and he's like, okay, we're going to exploit this. And some of us are sitting there like, there's no way this is going to work. And then sure enough, on game day, we run it 8 times and it's a positive play. It's just, how did he know? And I think that's what makes him special is he just knows how to create anything out of everything.
So we've seen obviously some big plays from this offense throughout the year since he's been here. But what does it mean to you that your play is his favorite?
Oh, I mean, I knew it was his favorite because I know that I was his favorite player. he might not admit it, but he knows that I was his favorite player. So
you kind of got on his nerves though sometimes, right? Because you were like, coach, draw me something up. Give me the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to. We had so many weapons my sophomore, Joe, Samaje, Didi, Shep, me, Mark. It was like, hey, coach, I'm here. I promise. Like, I can do it too. And then finally, like senior year, he was like, all right, you know what? You get it. You do whatever. And that was really the year that I just kind of took off a lot more. And he finally started to trust me and realized that I was right. So that's why I'm his favorite.
All right, so let's go back to Iowa State the next year. So Samaje Perine is hurt. Joe Mixon is out. And you guys, it's going to get the ball a lot. In Ames, obviously it's going to be a little bit of a different atmosphere, but just take us through kind of the game planning for that, knowing that you're going to be the guy and you really hadn't been the guy with the ball in your hands like that in a long time.
Yeah, so we knew Samaje was going to be out and so we were shorthanded on running backs. We had a couple others injured. So I just threw, you know, during practice, I would go run a drive at running back here and there just in case, like worst case scenario, I had to go and didn't really, I think I would ever, you know, go in. Like we said, I'd never had an actual handoff in college yet up to that point. And so we get to the game, we're in the huddle, warming up, everything's good. Then again, first drive of the game, he looks at me, he's like, Meech, go to running back. And I'm just like, what? It could have happened, but I didn't think it'd be first play like that. But you know, I think it just goes back to the trust that we had in each other, and that's why he's such a great coach. Is he knows what he can get from his players, and he wouldn't have put me in that position unless he knew I could do it. Couldn't have done it.
So 115 yards on 22 carries. How gassed were you after that game?
Oh, I was so tired. I mean, I was exhausted. You should have seen me walking off that field. It was brutal. Grass stains everywhere, but it was so rewarding. It was truly one of the best games, one of the most memorable games I had in college as well.
Yeah, you know, the fullback position is so important to this offense, but a lot of times it doesn't get a lot of the glory. You don't get a lot of the plays. So to have that opportunity where you could kind of be the guy that Lincoln called on and relied on and this team could rely on, and you have a big day on the ground that day, 115 rushing yards. What does that mean to you looking back to on it now?
I think it's just that I'm just more happy for it as the terms of any fullback can do it. You know, it's like fullbacks just aren't some guys that aren't athletic and can't do a lot of stuff. I think that's a stigma that they get a lot of the time. So it was kind of just like put a sly smile on my face. Like, yeah, I told you I could do it. Like one of those things. And so it's not, it wasn't, I'm not always looking for the glory or every game or anything like that, but it was a great feeling to go out there and finally show that I could do it too.
So I do want to go back because I remember talking to you when you were here and when you heard that Lincoln Riley was going to be the offensive coordinator, you were a little bit concerned about how you would fit into his offense, and you had a conversation with him and he reassured you that you would be utilized. Can you take us back through that conversation and just how reassuring it was that, you know, even though he hadn't used a fullback much before, yeah, he was going to figure out a way to utilize you?
So that's what it came from. Just did my research on the hire and looked at the East Carolina roster, and there wasn't a fullback listed. And obviously that was kind of concerning to me because my role coming in was when I was being recruited was to be Trey. And so he didn't use a Trey. And so it was kind of concerning to me. I voiced my concerns to my coach and then I ended up meeting with Coach Riley. He basically said, look, like, you just have to trust it. I'm going to play my best 11. And if you're one of those, then you'll be on the field. But you have to give me an opportunity and just like I'll give you one. And so I stayed here, obviously, and rest is history.
What does that say about, I mean, you talked about him being a genius about, you know, how he, you know, designs his offenses, but he had never really used a fullback before. And now it's such a huge part of what this offense does, how he can kind of evolve to the personnel he has. It's not just getting people that fit him. He kind of makes people shine with what he has.
That's the thing. You know, he first conversation we ever had, he said, I'm going to play my best 11. He's a genius offensive mind, just a genius mind in general. He finds matchups. He finds weaknesses. He exploits them. And he puts his players in the position to succeed, and that's all you can ask for a coach. And he does it so often, and it's really hard to not love him for that.
What's it been like for you? I know you're super close with JD and Trey, and there has been a long history of fullbacks here, but to see how deep they are now, and I mean, you're talking about the two games this season, they're all over the field making plays. You got Jeremiah Hall, Braden Willis, Austin Stogner's in that room now. Just, again, the emphasis that's been put on that, the depth they've been able to build, and the way that they kind of wanted to come in because of what the groundwork had been laid for them before.
Like I said, it goes back to tradition. I probably wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for Trey. I mean, that's how they got me here. Jeremiah, I hosted him for one night. And he kind of told me the same thing. He's like, look, I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for you. So it just speaks to the people before us. It's like you don't want to be the one guy that they recruit that just doesn't produce anything at this position. Because like you said, this fullback position at OU is a known thing. So you don't want to be the one guy to mess it up.
So are you saying, okay, you can make an argument for quarterback you, O-line you, running back you. Are you making the argument right here now for fullback you?
Oh, 100%. I don't even think it's close. I mean, I really don't think it's close.
You are seeing, you know, you guys make some plays. You've made big plays. Jeremiah Hall catches touchdown passes, Austin Stogner. But really, you have to be a jack of all trades. How do you go about being good at this position? And obviously, Shane Beamer's done a great job at evolving it as well. But you're not just focusing on one thing. You got to do so many things.
Yeah. You just have to be coachable. You have to keep an open mind. And that was how I was able to be on the field as much as I was, is I was able to do so many different things. And that's what's important about this fullback H-back position at OU is Lincoln's Lincoln's going to move you all over the field if you can be on the field. And you have to be able, and if you can't be able to do it, you won't be on the field. And again, it's best 11 on the field. So if he wants you to run, block, catch, he's going to find a way to do it. And if you can do it in three different plays in three different places, that just makes it harder on the defense. So he loves to put them in a bind.
How do you go about, though, preparing? You know, you said being coachable, but you have to be able to be an excellent blocker. You have to be able to catch long 75-yard touchdown pass or run the football 22 times in a game. You have to be able to do all of that. How do you prepare yourself for that?
You know, it's just fullbacks are just the greatest athletes on the football team. And so it's really hard to just they're just built for it. You know what I mean? It's and all jokes aside, it's just you have to be open-minded. It's a team first mentality. You know, he could have told me to run into a brick wall and I would have done it for this team. It's just really comes down to selflessness. And at the end of the day, you just have to do it, whatever's asked of you for this team to win the game.
All right. So you were part of teams that had to bounce back following very tough losses.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key to a bounce back? Like what they're going to face this Saturday?
You shake it off and move on. Prime example, my sophomore year, we had obviously Bake as a sophomore. We were still young, just like, you know, Spencer's young. We lose to Texas, shouldn't have happened, you know, all that. And that whole week of practice was just fierce. It was angry. And we go out and we beat K-State 55-0, which is, you know, not a walk in the park team at that time. They weren't known for getting beat like that. And I've talked about that multiple times with different people. It's really that next game is going to set the tone for you for the rest of your season. So how are you going to react? And I think if they come out this week and, you know, practice every day like it's a game, and then really you just have to forget about it. You can't dwell on it anymore. If you just dwell on it, what good is that going to do? So, I mean, they just need to go to Ames, take care of business, and take it one game at a time from here on out.
And, again, we've seen – you guys come off losses and still make it to be able to pursue the ultimate goal, which is, you know, the college football playoffs. So I guess how important is it for Sooner fans and everyone else kind of around it to remember, hey, this season's not over yet.
It's huge. You know, you see a lot of stuff on social media and just a lot of bashing and stuff. And it's quite hilarious to see. And I have to really refrain myself from replying and going off on these people, but you know, it's still, look at the history. I mean, look at 2015, look at 2017, look at even 2018, where we still made the playoff and we
2019.
And 2019 still had a loss that shouldn't have happened. And here they are. So, I mean, does it suck? Absolutely. But, you know, sometimes it's what a team needs just to really focus and realize that, okay, we're not as good as we thought, but we still have the potential to be one of the best four teams in the country. So let's go show the country that we can do that.
All right, Dimitri Flowers, as always, appreciate your time. And absolutely. I knew you had to get some selling yourself in there about fullbacks and fullback use.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Thanks for joining us for Sooners for Life, presented by The Varsity O. Learn more right now at TheVarsityO.com.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.